844-477-3776 is the number here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Text line from Health Dare, 71307. Start your message with ESPN. If you would like to get in with us today, those are the ways that you can connect. We're with you until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Tonight at 7:15, we'll have Swamp Rabbits hockey as the Swamp Rabbits take on Florida. And on WORD 106.3, we'll have the Clemson-Syracuse basketball game at 7:30. Clemson at 10-4. They're 0-1 in the ACC. They need a win to get their first win in conference play right now. And so we'll see if they can pull that off tonight. Duke is continuing to dominate. The Blue Devils just rolling. They had no trouble with Wake Forest last night, 87-65. Zion Williamson, 30 points, a career high. The 11th 25-point game by a Duke freshman this season. That ties the Duke total from last season, according to ESPN. But in addition to his 30 points, he had 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and a blocked shot. And one of the things that Zion said after the win last night was that he was glad to show that he can shoot. He was taking outside shots and hitting them, and says he does not like being classified as just a dunker.
I kind of hated always being classified as a dunker because, you know, I feel like Coach K would just recruit me if he thought I was a dunker, but I guess people on the outside don't understand that. But I can't play for the people trying to impress other people. I'm just playing to get better for myself and get better for my teammates.
Yeah, Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski agreed with that too. Said that Zion is a lot more than a highlight reel dunk machine.
I have confidence in him doing everything. No, he's a complete player and so efficient. I mean, to get 30 points on 16 shots and one miss was a dunk, and he's sharing the ball. So our guys are very unselfish, but yeah, he's a very special player.
Well, there's no question about that. And, you know, he's clearly stepping up as the almost consensus number one NBA draft pick now. Didn't really go into the season that way. Some thought he might be a little further down the list because he might be a little raw. But, man, here quickly. I mean, it's just January 9th, and he's showing the polish, the shooting ability. He hit 3 3-pointers last night. He only had 4 for the season, hit 3 last night. So almost matched that. You know, his shot's still not his strong point. For sure, but good enough. Wake Forest coach Danny Manning offered praise for Williamson, compared him to Rodney Rogers, the former Demon Deacons great. Manning said that size, athleticism, a well-put-together young man. And Coach K said he's been encouraging Zion to expand his game and take some three-point shots. According to ESPN stats and information, Zion Williamson is the only Division I player in the past 20 years to post a line with 30 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and 80% shooting from the field in any game. Division I basketball. Only one to do that in 20 years. Ben Simmons went on to become the number one overall pick in 2016. He had a 30, 10, 5, and 4 line as well. But Williamson laughed about that, suggested that he was really surprised by the performance. Guard Trey Jones said it was the type of the performance that the team is used to in practice. They see it all the time from Zion Williamson. So, you know, look, you can't have any complaints about the young man from Spartanburg and the way he has started his first and probably last season for the Duke Blue Devils in college basketball. So hats off to him. Really good performance. South Carolina, the Gamecocks, quietly making some noise in the SEC. They're now 2-0 in conference play after a really sluggish start. They've gotten back to 500 at 7-7 after they beat number 14 Mississippi State last night in Columbia in overtime, 87-82. Freshman A.J. Lawson with a steal and a dunk with 9 seconds left in overtime to seal that win. Coach Sarr was really good, 25 points for the Gamecocks, 9 rebounds. And Lawson came into the game as the leading scorer, averaging 13 points a game. He only scored 6 on 3-for-11 shooting, but the steal and dunk kind of made the difference down at the end. So here's what Frank Martin talked about after this Gamecock win last night at home.
there's a fake, you know, let's call it what it is, fake news that exists in the world of recruiting and all the other nonsense that I don't turn kids loose and I kind of don't play fast and all this other nonsense that's always out there. We play faster than any team in the SEC, and you know, that's the way it's always been. But for whatever reason, that story's out there, and you know, and I gotta like read nonsense sometimes that I'm kind of a control freak and I don't turn kids loose, and it's a bunch of hogwash, and it's used against me in recruiting. But it's all right. It's all good. You know, really proud of Coach R. I've been fighting him to, in a good way, to believe in himself. And so I'm really happy that he played with that aggression and that confidence, some guys score 25, but they score a lot like middle section of the game, and then they disappear. That dude made a big-time step-down jump shot from the baseline, big-time offensive rebound tipping, made his free throws. I mean, all that with the game in the balance. That's credit him. You know, we need him to keep growing. Absolutely need him to keep growing.
Yeah, South Carolina getting healthier now, and it's starting to show up. And at the perfect time here as they jump out to 2-0 in SEC play with wins over Florida and Mississippi State. Gamecocks up next will play at home on Saturday against Missouri, 1 o'clock tip at Colonial Life Arena. Then next week they go to Vanderbilt and LSU. So, look, all of those I think are winnable games for the Gamecocks if they can beat number 14 Mississippi State. Their next ranked game coming up on the 22nd against Auburn. They have to play Tennessee on January 29th. And, of course, Tennessee's top five team, so they've got some challenges coming up, but that's a nice start. Got to be pleased with the way it's started out for the Gamecocks in conference play, at least, after a tough non-conference schedule for South Carolina. Clemson, 10-4 now, but 0-1 in the ACC. And Syracuse, 10-4, 1-0 in the ACC coming up tonight. Clemson looking for their fifth victory over Syracuse in 8 tries all time. They're looking to snap a 2-game skid against the Orange. 2 straight wins for Syracuse here. They'll be leaning on Marquise Reed in the top 10 in 6 different statistical categories in the ACC right now. He's 4th in scoring, just under 20 points a game, 19.6. Reed is 10th in field goal percentage. He's 8th in assists per game. He is 2nd in free throw percentage, 6th in steals per game, and 6th in minutes per contest. Marquise Reed just 3 points shy of passing former teammate Dante Grantham for 33rd on the all-time scoring list at Clemson, 1,098 points in his Clemson career. And Eli Thomas, just one of just nine players in Clemson history to roll up 700 points, 450 rebounds, and 125 blocks in a career. So this is a big one for Clemson tonight. They definitely could use a win against the Orange tonight as they play up in Syracuse, New York. And we will watch and see how that plays out, see if Clemson can get back on track here. Oklahoma State has announced that guard Mike Cunningham's no longer with the basketball program. They made that announcement yesterday. He is averaging 8 points and 1 assist in 7 games for the Cowboys. He didn't play since December 16th against Nebraska. This is the guy, Mike Cunningham, who played at USC Upstate. He had 96 games at USC Upstate and 1,181 points and 281 assists in 3 seasons. So what happened with Mike Cunningham? Well, Mike Boynton, the coach at Oklahoma State, South Carolina guy, said that Mike Cunningham has decided he wants to move on to the next phase of his life. Boynton said, "We wish him well. We thank him for the contributions he made in his short time with the program." And then he said this, which is kind of interesting. The coach, Mike Boynton, he said, "The standards of Cowboy basketball will never be lowered for a short-term gain. We're building on a foundation established by Henry Iba, Bryant Big Country Reeves, Desmond Mason, and countless others who deserve to always be proud of the way we do things in Stillwater. This year's team, though young, will continue to take pride in who they represent." So obviously did not end well for Mike Cunningham, the graduate transfer at Oklahoma State. So he's leaving, going to move on. We'll see what the next step for Cunningham is going to be. Again, a lot of points at USC Upstate in his three seasons there, and it just hasn't worked out for him at Oklahoma State. Interesting to see how that plays out going forward. 844-GSP-ESPN, HealthDare text line is 71307 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We will break and come back with more. We have some Alliance of American Football news. You know, they're getting ready to start playing, and they've had kind of a last-second move among one of the principals in that league that we'll tell you about next. Stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. It's the huddle. It's ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in. Greg McKinney, Alonzo here. Call us at 844-477-3776. HealthDare text line 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Well, we said we would be getting some decisions from underclassmen this week now that the national championship game ended on Monday night, and we just got one from Clemson. Trayvon Mullen, cornerback, declaring on social media that he will leave school and go on to the NFL. He was a defensive MVP in the national championship game. Had a big pick in that game and played well. You know, everybody was questioning the cornerbacks and the safeties at Clemson, and they showed up and did their job. But they're going to lose Trayvon Mullen. He said this in a statement on social media. First, I want to thank the Clemson family for the experience I've gained and the opportunity to play on this team for the past 3 years. This school and program have helped me become a better person on and off the field. Because of the culture, our fans, and for many other reasons, Death Valley will always hold special memories for me. With all this being said, it was a tough decision, but I left it in God's hands. I am ready to move on to the next chapter in my life. I have decided to forego my senior year and declare for the NFL draft. So Trayvon Mullen to the NFL. You know, Lonzo, the difference this year to last year is you reached the pinnacle this year, so there's not that impetus to come back and get something done.
Yeah,
like
you're
last year.
Yeah, you're not hungry to come back and win that championship that you were so close to winning. Now you got it. It's time to move on to the next challenge.
Yeah, so Trayvon Mullen, the first one since the championship game to make that decision. You know, got all those defensive linemen back last year because they got together and said, hey, we didn't like the way that finished in that semifinal loss to Alabama where they couldn't score points. And so they got together and came back. Might not be the same kind of attitude. We'll see as more decisions continue to come in. But just a few minutes ago, Trayvon Mullen putting on Twitter that he will leave for the NFL. So it is a loss for Brent Venables' defense, for sure, for the Clemson Tigers. From the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, as they prepare to open their season, former Minnesota Vikings coach Brad Childress is resigning as coach of the Atlanta team. The Atlanta Legends. Brad Childress stepping down. The Legends have named Kevin Coyle their new coach to replace Childress. J.K. McKay, the head of football operations for the AAF, said, Coach Childress has stepped away from his role as head of the Atlanta Legends. We're grateful for his leadership, contribution to building the Alliance, and wish him well in his next endeavor. Went on to say, Kevin, talking about Kevin Coyle, is an experienced, confident coach that's built a well-respected coaching resume over the years and is ready to take charge of the Legends. Yeah, Kevin Coyle coached in the NFL for 17 seasons. They start play 1 month from today, February 9th.
I think it was during the playoffs last week, I saw a commercial for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a quick 5-10 second thing, but it's like, wait a minute, that's this year, it is. It's coming up soon.
Now.
Yeah.
So inquiring minds want to know what happened with Brad Childress.
He looked at the product and went, whoa, I'm out of here.
I mean, come on, man. 1 month ahead of the start of the season, he says no thanks? Wow. Like to know more about that. Don't know if we will or not, but I would like to. Coyle said he appreciates the opportunity the Alliance has given him to work with 75 players as a head coach and prepare them for the upcoming season. He said he learned a lot from Brad, thankful for his support in the journey, and looks forward to putting together a team that Atlanta can be proud of to support and bring the city a championship. The Atlanta Legends, Brad Childress, former Vikings coach, says, no thanks, I don't think I really want to do this. 1 month before the season gets ready to start. Wow, how about that?
What are we really expecting out of this, though? I don't know. The few other attempts that we've seen have been, they haven't been good.
No. My expectations are low, aren't yours?
They are, but I don't want them to be. I want this to be good football, and I think most people are like us. I will give it a shot. Probably will at least watch the first game if I'm not doing something else. But, you know, I'll try.
Of course, this league, founded by Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian, and it really starts up right after the Super Bowl. You know, you just go straight in from the Super Bowl to this league. They have 8 teams founded by Charlie Ebersol on March 20th of last year. So just put together. Bill Polian, the former NFL general manager, former Steelers safety Troy Polamalu, and executive J.K. McKay are principals in this. They have advisors that include Hines Ward, Steelers receiver, Justin Tuck, played for the Raiders and the Giants. Ebersol's father, Dick Ebersol, retired NBC Sports executive who co-founded the original XFL, is involved in this. The first team announced was Orlando, Steve Spurrier. I'd like to know what Steve Spurrier is thinking about this league right now as they're getting ready to play. Does he have any concerns?
He's probably filming a Dos Equis commercial right now. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Wow. The teams are Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Orlando, Arizona in Tempe, Arizona, Salt Lake City, San Antonio, and San Diego.
See, what I'm interested in, I want to see what Vince McMahon does after the very first game. Because does he come out with a statement and say, listen, the new XFL is going to be, or whatever they call it, is better than this product that you're getting right now? I mean, does he comment? Does he sit back? Does he watch? Because this has the potential to ruin any good that he could do next year when his league comes out. If it's so bad, if he would have to say something, wouldn't he? If it's really, really bad, to save his investment in the league that he's got coming out next year.
Mm. That's one way of looking at it. Do you think he wants it to be good?
Yeah.
He wants the AAF to look good?
Yeah. Wouldn't you? You want the product to be good enough that you can say, we're going to come out, we're going to compete, we're going to be even better than what they are. I think you want this to be successful to the point where people aren't going, oh my God, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I want people to be surprised and go, you know what, this is pretty good. I think I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, or you can say, hey, we know how to do this. They're messing it up. Wait for ours. It'll be head and shoulders better.
It's been such a long time since we've had a shot at another football league. If they botch this so bad, it could really hurt him for next year.
Well,
I know you don't think that one's going to be successful either. But
no, not long term. I don't like it, the chances of either one of them. I don't. I know you like Vince. Vince is going to talk, right?
Right.
He's going to talk one way or the other, whether it's good or bad.
And he should.
Yeah. Well, I agree. He'll give his opinion on it. That's what he does. He's not going to keep quiet. They have a 10-week season. 10-week season starting up on February 9th. They'll have a 4-team playoff. That sounds familiar. And the league championship game for the AAF is at Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas. The weekend of April 26th through the 28th. So you're looking at February 9 through around April 28th. You know, there's not a whole lot else. Certainly nothing football-wise to be into then. And, of course, if they survive and go into year two, they'll compete with the XFL, which begins in 2020. It's interesting about these teams, though. They're all, I mean, you got like 4 in the Southeast. And you got 4 almost in the southwest to west. You don't mean anything in the north in this league at all. I mean, you got a team in San Diego, so you go all the way to the west coast. The furthest north team is Salt Lake City in Utah. There's nothing. The furthest north team east of the Mississippi River is Memphis.
So nothing in Big Ten country?
No, nothing. Nothing. Nothing in the Northeast, nothing in Big Ten country, nothing in the Pacific Northwest.
See, I'm surprised that they haven't contacted like Ohio State or something like that, because I remember watching the European League before it became the European League. I forget what it was, but it still was an NFL thing. Mm. I actually have a stadium seat from it for the Ohio Glory, and went and watched a couple games for them there. And so I'm shocked that they haven't contacted some colleges to get some games in there.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have very good geographical representation here. I mean, and maybe they plan to expand, just starting with eight teams. Eight teams is enough to get it going, but barely. Couldn't go any less than that. So they have an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference with four teams each.
See, you're saying you got to watch Spurrier. You know, you got to at least watch Spurrier one game and see what he does.
Agree. Yeah, I agree. The Orlando Apollos will play at Spectrum Stadium, coached by Steve Spurrier. Some of the other coaches, you got Mike Martz coaching San Diego, Mike Riley coaching San Antonio, Dennis Erickson coaches Salt Lake, Rick Neuheisel, Arizona. You got Spurrier in Orlando, Mike Singletary in Memphis, Tim Lewis in Birmingham, and now Kevin Coyle in Atlanta. Now that Brad Childress says, I'm out.
So pretty much six of the eight teams are coached by somebody you've heard of before.
Yeah, they've got names as coaches. That's impressive. You got a range of stadium capacity. See, Atlanta's got the smallest stadium by far. They're playing at Georgia State Stadium. That's the old TED, right? They decreased that to 24,000 capacity. 24,333 capacity for the Atlanta Legends. But some of these stadiums are big. I mean, you got Birmingham. They're playing at Legion Field. You know, it's old, but it seats 71,000 people. Stadium in San Diego seats 70,000 people. They've got some pretty big ones there, but Atlanta does not. And none of them will probably need it. It'll look less empty, I imagine.
So where did you say the Atlanta team is playing?
Well, it's Georgia State Stadium. Yeah. I think that's the refurbished Ted Turner.
How far is that from here? That's, what, 3.5 hours, something like that?
Less than that. You can get to Atlanta in 2.5. Depends on where you are here. Depends on where here is. But, yeah. I mean, it's Atlanta. It's the old Ted. It's just right there off the interstate.
If I didn't have anything to do, I mean, it might be worth it when Spurrier was coming to town to just go watch.
Oh, I got you.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of tickets available.
Yeah, no question. You won't have any trouble with that.
Wonder how hard it would be to get a press pass.
I don't think that'd be difficult either. You can probably pull that off, too. Jump on that. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line, 71307. And Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Huddle with Greg McKinney and Lonzo, Wednesday edition on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. I'm Greg McKinney. Lonzo is here. We're hanging out until 4 o'clock this afternoon in The Huddle. You can join the conversation today at 844-477-3776. Health Dare text line 71307. And Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We've been talking a lot about Dabo Swinney and it's a good time to be Dabo Swinney, right? That's got to be fun. A guy that likes to talk like that. Which interviews do you do and which ones do you know? Have you heard anything about him like going on one of the late night TV shows? I wouldn't be surprised at that, but I haven't heard anything.
No, since I have joined the ranks of the elderly, I don't stay up that late.
No, but you have a computer.
I did.
You can watch those the next day.
No,
you know?
I haven't seen any of those. No,
I haven't either, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's kind of a little bit of a cult hero right now. And I'm a national figure for sure.
I will be interested to see if they go to the White House again. Because a lot of people have boycotted that. But they, during the midst of all that, I think it was last time, they went. So.
Yep. I know the flag's up on the State House again, right? The Clemson flag. I believe that's correct. I believe it's already up. And you'll see more and more things to recognize. The national championship won on Monday night.
Speaking of flags, I mean, I know you just won the national championship. How long, what's the proper etiquette for Clemson fans to have those car flags on? I mean, shouldn't they take them down at some point?
You want to set a deadline?
Yeah. I don't know what the proper etiquette is.
It's because you're tired of them already.
I was tired of them before. Yeah, but,
right.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. You're going to see those for a while, I think. You're going to see them for a while. You're certainly going to see everybody that has one fly it for a week or so, and then after that we'll see. Some of them will start to disappear. But, yeah, I'd look to
– That was so 2 days ago. Get that. Over it. Yeah. Move on.
Move on. Let's talk college hoops, right? Did you see that Stephen A. Smith basically said the blowout win for Clemson over Alabama was good for Nick Saban? Because it's good for college football. Because people were getting a little bored with it. And, you know, people are already talking about, Alabama-Clemson again, and Alabama's going to win. Well, all of that didn't happen, did it? Part of that happened. But and then just the way Clemson dominated that game. Stephen A. Smith says this blows up the narrative that, you know, Clemson's good, Alabama's on another level. That's the way college football is going to be. And that's good for college football. It does shake it up. You gotta go along with that. Shakes it up, and that's, I'm talking about not for the hardcore fan of either team, but for the average college football fan who's just watching with, you know, some interest. It's probably correct that it's good for the sport.
Yeah, because there's no longer, well, you know, Bama's going to win it. Why should I even watch it? Now they can't do that.
Yeah. Now, you know, we need some other teams to get competitive, right? I'm sorry, Clemson fans, but you know, you're saying, "What? No, we don't need that."
No, because if Clemson stays dominant, then it's the same situation that we've had with Bama. You need some other teams to get in there for sure.
We need somebody to step up. Who's next best prepared to step up next year and be in the mix? I mean, thinking about that, we doubts about Georgia now because they lost a bunch of guys, had a bunch of guys leave early, and look so bad. In their bowl game against Texas, Ohio State, you're losing your quarterback. Justin Fields comes in and starts to light it up. That's going to be a good storyline if he can play this year. And again, his attorney says should have an answer on that in about 6 weeks. I guess Ohio State could figure into it.
So you're saying it. I'm not going to jump in there, but of course I think that.
Yeah, Ohio State will be in there.
But they've always, well, not always, but for the most part, they've been in the conversation.
Right. I'm hearing good things about Ryan Day. You know, I don't know much about the guy, but I think the expectation is that he's going to do what Lincoln Riley did at Oklahoma and just pick up where the last guy left off and keep it going. I think that's – look, all the resources are there, and there's no reason to believe that Ohio State's going away. Now, it'd be better with Justin Fields than without him. We'll see. Tate Martell might be a fine quarterback. But Justin Fields is a big-time prospect – for Ohio State for a few years. If he can get in and play this year, he may have to sit out a year. Anybody else got you excited? Texas A&M is coming under Jimbo. I don't think there's any question about that. They're coming. They're going to be better going forward. But, you know, Texas coming under Tom Herman. Not a bad choice there. LSU under Ed Orgeron, you buy that? Maybe. Ups and downs, though. Somebody's got to step up and get into this mix over the next few years for college football to be healthy. Got to have more than a couple of teams. But I do agree with Stephen A. Smith that this was a nice little surprise ending on a national scale to this college football season. For Clemson, not to win so much, but to dominate the way they did against Alabama. That creates a little bit of a new narrative going into next year, and that's probably healthy. What is Nick Saban going to do? What's his outlook going to be going forward? I don't know that he said too much about that. But Paul Feinbaum certainly has an opinion. His thoughts on Saban's next move.
I think he will seriously look at the defensive side of the ball. Tosh Lapoy, the defensive coordinator, is his best recruiter, but he in no way is his best coach. In fact, he is the worst defensive coordinator Saban has had at Alabama, which isn't saying very much considering the defensive coordinators have been Kevin Steele, Kirby Smart, and Jeremy Pruitt. But he is not in that league, and I think that affected Alabama at times this year. They were able to mask it because of the explosiveness of the offense. They can't mask it any longer.
How about that? Alabama's got to fix the defense. That's Feinbaum's take on that. Of course, Tua's coming back, and they have some of those running backs coming back, and certainly will be good on the offensive line. They have the number one ranked recruiting class for the next year. according to the ESPN rankings. I think Clemson's 7 on the ESPN list. Jalen Hurts, in case you missed that, today entered his name into the NCAA transfer portal. So the backup quarterback appears to be headed out. Doesn't mean that he's necessarily gone. He could still stay, but looks like that's his intent to move on to another school. He has a year of eligibility remaining, but he graduated in December, so he can transfer and play immediately. No waiver needed for Jalen Hurts. Getting into the transfer portal is the first step to make him available for contact by other college football programs. Hurts isn't locked into leaving, but that sure looks like the way that is going. But they're sold on Tua. That hasn't changed for the Alabama Crimson Tide. But where will Jalen Hurts go? Who wants to take a shot on Jalen Hurts? Well, 24/7 Sports came up with some potential landing spots for Jalen. What do you think about these? TCU. Jalen Hurts is from Texas. TCU needs a quarterback. Makes sense. And they have taken in transfers before. Kenny Hill, remember him. So they have some receivers. So it might be intriguing for Hurts to do that. How about Auburn? Yeah, it's going to look a lot like the list we have for Kelly Bryant. And
pretty much. Yeah, except for
who
one.
Who needs a quarterback?
Except for one.
Except for
one.
Missouri, right?
Yeah.
Auburn, Stidham, moving on. Would he go to Auburn and that mess with Gus Malzahn? He definitely needs a quarterback, and he runs a power spread. That might fit the skill set of Jalen Hurts. And he could compete against Alabama. Do you want to do that or you not want to do that? Go to Auburn, a rival of Alabama. We'll see. How about Maryland? Remember this. Mike Locksley has been with Hurts. Now he's going to Maryland. So Hurts knows Locksley's system. Locksley knows Jalen Hurts. And that could be a possibility. The Miami Hurricanes. Man, they've had a mess at quarterback. Real mess at quarterback. Can't figure it out. Of course, got a new coach, Manny Diaz, after Mark Richt's retirement. This will be a high-profile place for Jalen Hurts to play. Major Applewhite could be the offensive coordinator. They're working on that right now. And he was the offensive coordinator at Houston during Hurts' recruitment, and Houston was one of the first places to offer Jalen Hurts. Houston, by the way, mentioning them, he could go there. Going back home to Texas to finish up his eligibility. Dana Holgorsen, the new coach there, is considered a quarterback mentor. Had Will Grier, transferred him from Florida. His system would give Jalen Hurts a high-profile platform where he could throw the ball and show off his arm. You know, Jalen Hurts' arm is not terrible, despite a lot of opinions to the contrary. Jalen Hurts can throw the ball a little bit. He's not Tua, but he can throw the ball a little bit. But they have Derek King at Houston, and Holgorsen called him a great quarterback this week. Some reporter called him a good quarterback. Holgorsen, no, he's a great quarterback, so that might be an issue. How about Chad Morris at Arkansas for Jalen Hurts? Yep, they desperately need a quarterback. You know, it's not a place where you can go and expect to compete for a championship or anything, but possible. Florida, Dan Mullen. Figure that out. Brian Johnson is a former assistant at Mississippi State and Houston, and he recruited Hurts out of high school for the Bulldogs, and was a key factor in Dak Prescott's ascendance. Johnson and Dan Mullen have a lot of quarterback developmental experience. Felipe Franks, better in year two as a starter, but I don't know if Florida believes in Felipe Franks. Florida State, Willie Taggart, could he fill the need there? Got Kendall Briles coming in, don't forget that, as the offensive coordinator at Florida State. So that's going to be a brand new look for that Florida State offense. And they'll like to sling it around under Kendall Briles. But that offensive line is still not fixed. I don't know if Hurts would want to go play behind them for his final year of eligibility. And another one mentioned is Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt, a former Alabama assistant. Tennessee needs a quarterback. Jim Chaney's their new offensive coordinator, and he's a pretty good play caller. Wouldn't be the worst place for Jalen Hurts to go. So those are a few. You know, a little bit similar to the Kelly Bryant sweepstakes, but we'll see now that Jalen Hurts has put his name in the transfer portal for the NCAA as it looks like he's ready to move on from Nick Saban and Alabama. 844-477-3776. Health Dare text line is 71307. Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney and Lonzo back in a moment on ESPN Upstate and The Huddle. Well, it's probably a good thing that Clemson has a good defensive coordinator. Because he's going to have some new guys on that defense next year. We told you a little earlier that cornerback Trayvon Mullen announced today that he's going to forego his senior season and go on to the NFL. We have the same decision from junior linebacker Trey Lamar, declaring for the NFL draft today. Here's a statement from Trey Lamar. After much consideration, I have elected to forego my senior season and enter the 2019 NFL draft. I am so thankful for my entire time at Clemson. And though I may wear a new uniform going forward, I will always remain a Clemson Tiger. This is a second-team all-conference guy. The ACC and Pro Football Focus choosing him as an all-ACC second team. He was among the leaders in tacklers this year with 80, 5.5 for loss. So, Lonzo, it's, you know, you got your guy, Venables. He's got some work to do because you lose the entire defensive line. And now you're losing Trayvon Mullen and Trey Lamar, two of your key players at the linebacker and secondary level.
You know what? I'm curious because they already knew the defensive line is gone, and Vegas still projected Clemson to be number one.
Yeah.
How many of these guys have to go before suddenly they're no longer projected number one?
No, I got that. I understand. Now, if I'm not mistaken, has Isaiah Simmons, the other linebacker, one of the other linebackers, said anything? Because he's a redshirt sophomore, which would mean he's been out for 3 years. I mean, in school for 3 years, so he'd be eligible to go too. Are we waiting for him? If there has been something on Isaiah Simmons, I have not seen it. But now that Clemson has won it all, it seems to be that some of these guys are thinking there's really not that much to come back for. That was pretty good. That was pretty cool. You could do it again, but it's not the same as last year when you had that that little burning in the belly to come back and get some revenge.
You know, this has been a rough week for me because all I've done is praise Clemson all week, and I think I'm developing a rash. But anyway, I just have to say the one coach out of everybody there, Brent Venables, has been the guy who's had to replace more people than anybody. Mm-hmm. And every year he comes back and you think this is a year he's in trouble because he lost too much and he comes back and just reloads with that defense.
Yeah, and the confidence level is certainly going to be there. But it could be a little bit of a change next year. By that I mean it could be the offense just has to outscore people. The defense is not going to go from great to awful. But, you know, if you lose that entire defensive line and some key players who come out early, it's going to be different, right? It's going to be different. And it might not be the strength of the team like it has been. We'll see. Or maybe they just reload. They've certainly got guys coming in. They've been recruiting at a high level. And maybe it doesn't make that much difference. But that's a couple of significant announcements today for the Clemson Tigers as they lose Trayvon Mullen and Trey Lamar. You see all the stuff about Drake. Fans have been on social media after Clemson's domination of Alabama in the college football playoff national championship. And they're saying that Drake, the rapper, cursed Alabama.
Yeah, there's some deal. I've looked into it too much, but he keeps putting different jerseys on or something, and everybody he roots for, they lose.
Yeah. Yeah, he's supported Kentucky basketball, the Toronto Raptors, Conor McGregor, Serena Williams, and Alabama. So if he pulls for your team, they're in trouble for the immediate future.
Don't you dare go near a Chiefs jersey, Drake. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there was a video of him giving Alabama a motivational talk before the title game against Clemson. A motivational talk that did not work, Drake. That's funny. So, yeah, you don't want Drake pulling for your team. You definitely don't want that. There's more talk about targeting now. It's never going to go away, probably. College football level targeting. College football coaches want to see the targeting rules split into two categories. to determine whether certain hits delivered with the crown of the helmet carry malicious intent. Executive Director of the American Football Coaches Association, Todd Berry, said today, FBS coaches at their annual meeting unanimously supported a model to assign targeting one or targeting two. Hey, just like flagrant one, flagrant two. I like it. So that's going to be the push here. Targeting one fouls would result in a 15-yard penalty, but no ejection or suspension. Targeting two fouls would result in automatic ejection, potential suspension. Right now, the rule says any targeting foul results in a player being automatically ejected. And if the foul occurred in the second half of a game, as you know, he's suspended for the first half of the next game. Every potential targeting rule is reviewed by replay. And the replay booth can initiate a targeting review if it is not called on the field. Yeah. In fact, Berry, Todd Berry of the Football Coaches Association, even referred to the flagrant fouls in basketball. They're split into flagrant one, flagrant two. And that would be the model. Berry said targeting one would carry a 15-yard penalty. No malicious intent is what targeting one means. He said, we recognize this was not something where they're trying to hurt or maim someone. Targeting two, well, that's what they're trying to do, I guess, hurt or maim someone. They're trying to, he said, we're trying to get rid of targeting two fouls. That's malicious intent. Our coaches have suggested if you have multiple targeting two penalties over the course of a year, we would like to see that individual be more severely punished than a one-game suspension. We need to eliminate those people from the game if we can't eliminate the act. How about that?
So Avantes Perfect would be in trouble, or even OBJ a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he and Josh Norman got into it.
Right. But this is college versus pro. But yeah, I mean, somebody that did something like that. Yeah. So Barry's going to bring this up at the NCAA convention in Orlando later this month, try to get more support for it. He said coaches don't like the subjectivity of how targeting is officiated. He referred to situations where a ball carrier lowers his head and then a defensive player unintentionally makes contact with the crown of his helmet and gets a targeting ejection. Well, that's right, right? I mean, there have been lots of cases like that.
Yeah, that happened Monday night.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one. There was a lot of complaints about Trevor Lawrence not getting a targeting.
But he lowered his head.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So can they get all this together and implement it before next season? Berry said the coaches discussed whether multiple targeting one fouls could warrant automatic ejection. In other words, multiple non-malicious targeting. But they did not reach a consensus on that. They also discussed whether players who commit targeting penalties should be forced to leave the field. So more discussion coming on that one.